Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. 10 years, hundreds of guests, millions of downloads, one podcast.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on.
The 10-year anniversary podcast, March 10th, Peterson Auto Museum. Mahalo for a decade of getting it on. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Joe Coy. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and a call from ESPN's Jeremy Schapp. And now, still drunk on the Rams win, and also Mangria, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on, got to get it on, the judgment got a man to get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. I love that you share. It's been years of doing this for a living. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
I believe in God, but there is no God.
Joe Coy in studio. Much to talk about. The special that everyone loves out as we speak on Netflix, live from Seattle. The new one's coming out from Hawaii in just a couple of months. Joe is in the edit bay as we speak. I want to talk about that process. I know you went to the UFC fight in Brooklyn last week.
Yeah.
TJ Dillashaw and Cejudo, right?
Yes, and TJ Dillashaw, hats off, man. One thing I don't understand about the fight game is taking on fights where you have to lose that amount of weight.
Mm-hmm.
He cut 30 pounds, man.
He's fighting the Battle of the Bulge.
It's good.
You did it.
30 pounds,
TJ Dillashaw cut 30?
Yeah, he walks at 155, and he weighed in at 124.
That's horrible and unhealthy, and I'd love to know how
that's
he
crazy.
Did it.
Man, when you speak that fight game, though, it's like that's the only way. It's like, how do we make the most money? And that's the only way they can do it.
It's a war crime in a lot of countries.
So it's like before, you know, he's a good friend of mine, and he's really nice. I saw him train. No one trained harder than this guy. And The people seem to forget that you weigh in at 124 the night before the fight.
Right.
You know, and it's, you know how exhausting, like he was at 24-hour fitness trying to cut one more pound worth of water just so he didn't miss weight. You know what I mean?
If he does, is everything
off? Oh, everything's off.
Well,
the fight will go on, but
sometimes everything's off. Sometimes they just hit you for money.
He can't get the belt,
though. Ding you for money, or sometimes you can't get the belt.
Well, no, you can't get the belt either, though.
It's not a good thing. The fight may go on, but it's
but
not a good...
you don't get the spoils of victory.
And you don't get some money.
Yeah, you get money. You hit a lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, the fight seemed like it stopped early.
So much. If you watch the fights... The very first, I forgot his name, Cowboy.
Cerrone.
Cerrone.
Cowboy Cerrone. It seemed like premature stopulation.
Hilarious.
The San Francisco trip.
Hilarious.
This is why I got to call Cerrone. These fights, because everyone's going to look at me and I'm going to go, what? Premature stopulation. Yeah. It's happened to all of us.
It's happened to the fight game. Once in a while.
Dana clearly said it was stopped early. So if Dana says it, then it was stopped early. But TJ was screaming in the ring. I mean, the guy was reaching for his legs. He's still the champion, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
There were two fights before where the guy gets hit and his legs turn to spaghetti. And the ref was nowhere to be found there. He let him get his face punched in.
It's not a precise or an exact science. And in boxing, it's a little more satisfying. So when Mike Tyson would hit, you know, Trevor Burbick or something, and he would try to get up, and it was like, it was always funny. I don't know why, when I used to train in boxing, I always called it like the mafia. It was like a mafia had the ability to fix a fight, and they would fire like a laser beam, invisible beam at the guy's legs, because the guy's legs wouldn't be like attached to his torso. Like his, he would, you'd see guys try to get up, and their legs are just like, oh, I'm not agreeing with what your brain says. Let's get up and fight. Your brains are like, I don't know what's going on.
Right.
So
like the end of the marathon.
Yeah, your brains think you're doing that thing. By the way, I miss this day. Remember when they had a lot of exercise stuff that wasn't exercise, but it passed off as exercise? Like when I was a kid, everyone had one of these swivel things. It was like a round thing on top of another round thing, and it had like a ball bearing thing in it, and it was essentially a lazy Susan for your ass, and everyone would just stand on it and go like, I'm going to work out. It's like, boy, that seems fun and super easy. And no one's ever breathing hard, and no one's ever sweating. No. The other exercise that everyone called exercise that wasn't exercise is you lay on your back, you throw your legs up in the air, and you put your hands under your hips and your elbows down the ground, and you pedal in the air. That was that was another form of exercise.
I remember that one.
No wonder everyone agreed on it, because running sand dunes sucks. But this was like, oh yeah, I can do this.
Well, what about the guys that would stand on the thing with the belt around him and it would just shake and vibrate?
That was the ultimate guy who's like, look, people, I invented the swivel thing. Great. No one ever broke a sweat doing that. I did the turn yourself over and kick your feet. But here's what I found. I found that it was very difficult to smoke when I was in that position. All right?
Not impossible. Just difficult.
And I spilt my beer twice trying to get a hit off it. Now, I've come up with a new invention where we just stand there.
Yeah.
And this belt just shakes our ass. And you can put a beer in one hand, a cigarette in the other.
Yeah,
that thing, when I was young, like, everyone's on your back, get your legs up in the air, and that's what your legs are doing when your brain is saying, get up. But in boxing, it's easy. It's like Tyson just rung that guy's bell. That guy shouldn't be fighting anymore, whatever. In MMA, the guy's scrambling and trying to grab the guy's shins.
Yeah.
And he's in the fight.
Yeah.
The fight's going on. I don't know why they ended that.
I don't know why either. I was so upset. And TJ is still the champ. And they're struggling with that weight class anyways. Adam, they don't want that class anyways. And
it's a little too small for the fellas.
Yeah,
they're starting to think. So it's a crazy. The reason the sport is exciting, mixed martial arts, is because Mighty Mouse was the guy who dominated that
division,
and was unbeatable and thought to be unbeatable, and pretty much everyone's pound for pound guy, even though he was a Demetrius Johnson, I think it was. Minish guy. Then he gets beat by this Cejudo guy way out of the blue. Like, no one was ever, this guy was unbeatable, but he gets beat by Cejudo. And then now Cejudo beats Dillashaw in a kind of weird, tough fight. But you never know. Never know. Like, I grew up my whole life, I'd be watching Muhammad Ali, and they put some guy in front of him with love handles and red hair. And it's like, all right, well, I guess we know how this is. You know, we know what he's going to do to Randall Tex Cobb for 15 rounds.
Yeah.
I already know how this is going to end. Later on, Larry Holmes. Later on, Mike Tyson. Like, you kind of know. In mixed martial arts, you never know.
You never know.
You
but
never
what,
know.
What I miss about the old days is, like, those weight classes, they stayed in their weight classes. But, I mean, the cool thing about Ali is he was a light heavyweight when he went in. And was still crushing guys, but he gained weight to go in. I feel like when you lose weight, that's such a big disadvantage. I don't think it's fair.
I don't think Ali was a light heavyweight.
Yeah, he came out as a light heavyweight when he was
fought
in the Olympics.
As a pro?
Yeah, when he was in the Olympics, but he went in as a light. He was
he
a light
has
heavyweight.
Pro fights as light heavyweight.
I think he went in as a heavyweight, but he was still a light heavyweight.
Oh, a lighter heavyweight. But it was weird back then because the guys like guys who like Rocky Marciano, 180 pounds, 50-0. All right, we have some. I know you love the fight stuff. So Adrian Broner got his butt kicked by Pacquiao. Broner was. I interviewed him, and it was an easy guy to interview because he's one of these guys. I don't know who are the guys who do the interviews who don't want to do interviews, but they're doing the interview.
Yeah.
I know somebody. Like, I get
Marshawn.
It. Like, somebody told you to do the interview. Like, somebody wrangled you, like, hustled you up and went, do the interview. And you went, like, I don't want to do the interview. But a couple things. We're all in the same business, which is like, hey, go talk to this radio guy. I want to sleep in. Yeah, but you want to sell your comedy special or your book or your fight or your pay-per-view. Or, like, you want to move some tickets, right? You want to do as my great boxing coach, Terry Claibon, once told me, boxing is about putting faces in seats.
That's good.
It's great to do a kind of a mad lib when you have when you're talking to a boxing coach. You know what I mean? Like, I knew what he meant. I think he meant fannies, but I didn't stop him.
You corrected him instantly.
The meat in the seats.
So they wrangle you, and then you get the guy who doesn't really want to be there, except for it's his fight. You're plugging. So when I talked to him, I was like, well, Adrian Broner, you're 29. Manny Pacquiao's 40. And in the heavyweight divisions, you know, guys hang around till they're 40. But in the lighter weight divisions, like your one, you don't see older guys. So I think that gives you an advantage. And he's like, I'm not here to talk about the heavyweight division. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Me neither. I'm just saying.
This is fun.
Thank you. Tactic is always just like this negative. It doesn't even make sense. It's like he starts a fight about something that for no reason, like, I'm not here to talk about the heavyweight. It's like, okay, then what are you here to talk about? Because I don't.
Yeah. So it's weird. And then the after fight he did with, was it Gray? Was it Jim Gray?
Jim Gray.
Yeah, it was a funny after fight thing. We'll play a clip of it. Made me laugh.
Adrian.
Hold on. Worst job. I mean, other than standing in front of Planned Parenthood and going, just had an abortion? All right, let me walk you out to the minivan.
What are the stuff that led you here?
Oh, you have a car seat. Oh, you, so you do. Oh, yeah. Oh, you didn't want another. All right. Anyway. So what's it like in there? Full shop vac?
Any regrets? Steps?
What's going on? How are you feeling? Religious? What about stepdads? You know about that? Oh, it was your step? Oh, boy. It's uncomfortable. Unfortunately, it's got to be done. So is this your van? Like, it's uncomfortable. You have to go talk to the guy who just got vanquished, right?
Sure.
Did they get it all out?
Oh, was your stepdad?
Did it come out a hole or a piece?
Oh, God. All right.
You started this.
You see that Dean Cain movie?
Did it have hair yet?
You're so wrong.
Dean Cain movie.
All right. Here, Grassinow, I think it was called. Yeah, all right. But now great. He has to go talk to the guy who just got beat. And not only is the guy not in a great mood from getting beat, but you've been kind of concussed. So it's kind of tough sometimes. But here's Adrian after the fight.
Your motherfucking ass over here. I got a lot to say.
We're going to conduct this professionally, or we're not going to have an interview. You make the decision. What did you think about the fight?
I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him.
Hold on a second. It's never a good sign when everyone who was at the fight in person doesn't know you beat him. Maybe all of television land is on your side, but for the 12,000 people that were there...
12,000 Pacquiao relatives.
They did not think you won that fight. By the folks that saw the fight in person didn't think you won the fight. I have some stats here, I think, on it.
Let's keep it going.
Yeah, please say there's more. Going.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Motherfucking ass over here. I got a lot to say.
We're going to conduct this professionally, or we're not going to have an interview. You make the decision. What did you think about the fight?
I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. Everybody out there know I beat him. I controlled the fight. He was missing. I hit him clean more times. I beat him.
You averaged 8 punches. Less than 8 punches was the most punches that you had in the round, and it seemed as though you couldn't get close enough.
It already sounded like it was against me.
Oh my God.
The trainer looks very conflicted. He wants to like, yeah, I'm on your side. He's like, you're your ass beat.
This Al Gore looking guy's doing his best.
Yeah. As a trainer, the one mantle you don't want is enabler.
Yeah.
As a boxing trainer, you know, like, have another donut, champ. You don't need to practice.
You deserve it.
You beat a
bear claw. Good call.
You could beat Paul Bunyan. Yeah, like, you kind of need to be the guy. Yeah.
Discipline.
The trainer.
Reality.
If you have won 8 out of 11 rounds and you're going out for the 12th round, the trainer guy kind of has to go, you got to win this round, not go ahead and coast. We're fine. Right. So he's got to be a little conflicted because the guy threw 8 punches around. Sorry.
That's a computer that got that, by the way.
Yeah. All right, we'll rewind it a little, sir.
Let me let y'all know. I want to thank the whole hood who came out here. I love y'all. I did this for the hood. Y'all know I beat that boy.
Now, hold on. He's not talking about a clans.
No, hood.
He's talking about that's short for neighborhood.
Okay. Oh, his neighborhood. The neighborhood came up.
Yes. Yeah. Chris, you got to rewind it 20 seconds here, let's see.
Otherwise, how would we know?
Well, that's why I'm here. I'm a fight fan.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's not sucking up to the Klan.
Yeah. There was a section with a bunch of people with hoods on.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he wasn't on it.
That's right.
Okay.
Here he is. Sorry.
Punches that you had in the round, and it seemed as though you couldn't get close enough.
It already sounded like you was against me. So I already ain't got a fair shake talking to you. But let me talk something. Let me let y'all know. I want to thank the whole hood who came out here. I love y'all. I did this for the hood. Y'all know I beat that boy. What they trying to do is get that money again with Pacquiao and Floyd. But it's cool. I ain't worrying about it. I'm still that nigga, man. I'm on top. Cincinnati, stand up. West side. 2-5.
You're 3-3-1 in your last seven fights. What will you do next?
Cincinnati's proud, by the way.
I'm 3-3-1 my last seven, but I'll be 7-0 against you.
Oh, my God.
Well, that
God.
Wouldn't mean much. That's the end of this interview. Good luck to you in the future.
Got him. He got him. I'll say that much. He got him. Man. Right at the end, he got him.
Shot zing.
He won.
Shots fired.
I'll tell you one thing. He won that. He won that interview.
3-3-1.
You I like that guy. He's funky.
There's no more 500 than 3-3-1. Yeah, 2-2 is not close to 3-3-1 in terms of playing fighting 500 ball. The one even makes it even more poignant in the boy are you 500.
Was that a veiled threat against Jim Gray?
Veiled? He was pretty clear.
I just never know against you.
Oh boy.
That was awesome.
Good boy. Yeah.
So evidently wasn't much of a fight, but also it is you got to internalize a little bit more as a boxer because it's also blaming guys for reporting what they saw is a tough.
Everyone's against
you. You would like your kids not to do what Adrian Broner just did, or maybe not fight at all. How about that? All right.
How far do you go with that, though? Like, how long are you in denial? And the people that are around him, like,
yeah. How long do they let him be in?
How
denial?
Long? Right? Like, bro, the stats are there. You threw eight punches around.
We have a new leader in the clubhouse for oldest combined age fist fight.
Oh. Really? It's pretty up there already.
We're at like 155, 156 or something. This is the age of the two people in the fight, Joe Coy, combined, obviously. Mm-hmm. Still getting it on, you know, at 50, you know, in 75, 78 years old.
You get over 150, that's an old fight.
Yeah.
Right. What is the new number, Max Zapata?
The new number is 175.
Holy shit.
That's old. That's like an 89 and 86, was it?
Yeah, that's exactly 89 and 86.
Florida woman.
Someone's Asian.
Where?
I know, shocking. Florida.
What?
A Florida woman, 86, accused of beating her husband, 89, to death with a cane.
Wow.
Yeah, that's unmistakable.
And not one of those fun, old-timey vaudevillian style ones. The ones where you shuffle off to Buffalo. You cannot do any damage with those. Right. Am I right or am I right?
Hello, my honey.
Canes are becoming weapons. Like, back in the day, they were for affectation. Like, they'd bend and you'd lean on them.
They show you're a gentleman.
Pop your top hat on it or something.
You could pull flowers out of it. Flowers will pop up.
Now they're like aluminum, and they have a collapsing stock and a bump stock and everything. They're turning into weapons, essentially. So evidently.
And that's a real fight if somebody ended up dead.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fight.
That wasn't just the two guys fighting over the cheese at the Costco.
No, she was. What was the story, Max Zapata?
Oh, she was just accused. She's arrested now. They're trying to play the dementia card, but just blunt force trauma to the head with a cane. Officers found the cane covered in blood inside the home.
She couldn't just get to heaven cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
you had to fuck it up right at the end. You were like 1 year away just living in a fantasy land.
And she couldn't take
boom,
one more day.
You're going
that guy.
Right to hell. Yeah. 89 years.
Also,
one day. Couldn't you fuck
they,
up.
Were they married for 55 years or something? It seems like
she's got a long fuse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I told him one more time the toilet seat.
Yeah. How long were they?
She's got a long fuse. You know how long that fuse is? That's a 55-year-old fuse.
Decades
and then one day
old.
She was like, we don't have butter in the fridge. Sunk. Sunk, sunk, sunk. What? Sunk.
What was?
Shut up.
How long were
Shut
they
up.
Married?
Shut the fuck up!
Wait a minute, I'm old. I can call you woman. Hey, woman!
You shut the fuck up!
Hey, thing with fallopian tubing.
Fuck you!
You get away from me.
I swear I'll beat you over the head. You ask me for one more fucking thing. Say it!
I buy you a custom bronze cane.
Fuck you! Say it
with
again!
With a grappling hook at the end, and this is how you speak to me?
Yeah, Merry Christmas, motherfucker! Fuck.
We've been married for 61 years.
Yeah, and it's 61 too long. I'm going to hell. That's where I want to go. Hell. Stop. Give me your head. Give me your fucking head.
It's all Give covered with liver head. Marks.
Goddamn.
Ow.
Fuck you.
Ow.
You
I'm so brittle. My skin is so brittle.
Fuck you. I'm going to push. stand at the top of the steps. Get up there. Get up there.
The Price is Right is on.
Go.
Drew Carey does a fantastic job.
Go on the. Get
I didn't
on
think
the
anyone
tablet.
Could replace Bob Barker.
I'm going to push you down these
but I was
fucking
wrong.
Stairs.
It takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. Wait a minute. I'm going to get on that stair rascal.
Yeah.
The Ellis.
Get off.
Stair rascal.
I'm going to drive my rascal to the stair lift and then just get off it.
And then I'm
going
to push you down.
And you push me. And
I'm going to hit you in the head.
I want one of those bathtubs with a tailgate on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm the world's laziest person.
That's right, you son of a bitch.
I got a rascal upstairs. I got a rascal downstairs. And in between, I got the funicular.
Funicular?
That's right.
And I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I hate you.
I need a tub with a door. Now, this time, I know it was cool aesthetically, but the Western doors on the tub was a bust.
Yes,
we need
was.
A solid door,
a
not
solid
a louver door.
Yes.
You're getting on my nerves.
I fucking hate you.
I knew you wanted to enter that tub and yell, there's a new sheriff in town in tub, but it never held water.
It never did.
No, it needs the door it came
and,
with.
And now you understand why I'm killing you.
Don't kill me with the cane. I got you.
No. Thank you. By the way, thank you for this cane.
I'm seeing a younger woman.
You mother!
Ow!
Fuck you!
She's 86.
Stop talking!
Ow!
You like that young pussy, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh, is it that... Oh, that bitch!
Meals on wheels.
Yeah.
Hey, is there something going on in here?
Nothing. No good.
Just drop that.
He always bleeds out the top of his head. Yeah, just put the food down and get the fuck out of here. Please, close the door.
Okay, well, right. I'm told that I should call the authorities if there's disturbance.
Yeah,
no, very clearly
years.
Evidence of a disturbance here.
This is what we do.
I had a tetanus shot in 1941, so I'm good.
Okay, well, everything checks out.
Oh, thank you so
Enjoy
much.
Your spaghetti.
Good looking kid. Have a nice day. All right, bye.
Hey, quick sidebar.
Close the door.
Meals on Wheels hero.
Yes.
Do we need you anymore now that we have Grubhub? I could fucking
Good question, honey.
Pizza Hut
Good
brought here for $4. I got a goddamn pizza. Well, you're bringing on some fucking shit somebody dropped in a food bin.
Yeah.
Outside of a Toby Keith concert.
Yeah, Toby
fuck
Keith.
You.
That's a weird
fuck
way
you.
To say thank you. But
get the fuck out of here.
I don't need your free fucking garbanzo beans with a dent in the can.
Yeah, no one wants that shit. Right.
Got 20 meals to drop off.
Can you get the fuck out of here?
I got fucking Grubhub.
Question.
I get some fucking Panda Express.
Questioning my decisions.
Orange chicken. Good question, baby. Good question. Can you get out of here so I can continue beating the fuck out of this man who's
like
cheating on me with a younger woman, you motherfucker?
Oh, she just died. I just read in the obits. She died. She died in a stair rascal accident.
Stair rascal.
It came off the rail.
I told you shouldn't get that stair rascal.
Yeah, it came
it's
off
dangerous,
the rail.
It's dangerous, baby.
She rolled down three flights of stairs
and
when it came off.
Dead.
She jumped off the railing.
And she's dead.
She's dead now.
I told you, baby, don't get
but
that stair rascal.
But she's newly dead, so that means I can still have sex with her.
It's still warm.
And seen.
It's still.
Thank you.
Oh, man.
That's good.
Powerful.
That's how it went.
Were they married, Max Batta?
Yeah, they were married. There's nowhere stating how long they're married for, but Brian was right. A neighbor is the one who discovered them. Someone just found her with a bloody husband on the ground, and she was standing over him on the porch. And then when police went inside, they found the broken cane on the sofa, a bloody nightgown draped across the arm of a chair, bloody towels.
National image.
I'd like to make it the rest of my life without discovering a body. I would like my body to be the first body I discover and the last. I shall be the only one who discovers my body.
You die in front of a mirror?
Joe, I swear to God, Lynette, my wife, was like on. She's like, I haven't talked to my mom in like 3 days. She's not answering her phone. Like, I'm worried about her.
Oh.
And I'm like, hey, she's okay. You know what I mean? She's probably enjoying herself somewhere. She's at the gym, you know? And Lynette's like, no, she's not picked up her phone in like 3 days.
Ooh.
And I'm like, probably binge watching Sopranos or something. She's like, no, I'm going to call my neighbor. Old neighbor and see if he can go over to the house and check up on her. I'm like, don't. What time is it? 6:30? He's probably eating. He's eating dinner. Leave him alone. She'll be fine. Yeah. We'll go over there tomorrow. And she's like, I'm going to. And she called the neighbor and she's going like, yeah, could you go over there? Yeah. Yeah, I haven't heard. I'm worried. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll hang on. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. And the guy's probably trying to enjoy his dinner.
Yeah, now he's going to see a dead body.
Mom fucking probably taking a nap on the sofa or something, like whatever. And I'm going to just leave the guy alone. And then she's like, oh, hold on. Yeah. She's dead? Like,
wait.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's dead.
Wait,
she's
are dead. You being serious right now?
Yeah, what?
I was joking, Adam.
No,
you can't fucking do that to us.
Well, this is 10 years ago, but she discovered.
Meals on wheels.
He went and discovered his mom's dead body.
That is horrible.
Well, how do you think I felt?
I didn't know it was going to end
was
like
sitting
this.
There.
Who's the real victim, Joe?
No, but like Joe, like seriously, right, life is for the living. And I was sitting there going, leave him alone. It's nothing. Leave him alone. It's nothing. Leave him. He's dead? Oh, she is. Okay. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but still.
Oh,
he
man.
Walked in.
He like
and saw a dead
jiggled,
body?
Like looked through the window and saw that she was on the, laying God. On the bed and wasn't breathing or whatever it was. Jesus. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Lynette.
Did you know?
I know. What about me? Like, I'm like, come
well,
on.
Well, you were trying to stop her. But
I was.
She let this man go discover a dead body. That's the worst.
Well,
I would never want to see that.
That was peacefully resting versus bloodied with a cane.
Yeah, that's true.
That's an image. It's hard to.
I still don't want to see a dead body.
I'm
no,
with you.
And Adam, please correct me if I'm wrong, but Joe, I am 99.9% sure that Lynette's mother was a black belt in karate.
Really?
Is that correct?
She was a third degree black belt.
That's three black belts
in karate.
And look where she is now.
And
look where I got
it. I knew.
Oh, come on.
Oh boy, I knew it. I just remember one time when the cops came to pick her up. Because she was a little nutty.
And she had mental illness?
The cops were like, yeah, that too. The cops were like, she's not coming out of her bedroom. And the cops are like, we're going in. And I'm like, you should just go with the nice men where they want you to go. And she's like, we're fighting.
Oh, God.
And like the cops went in and was like, she yelled, Kia! You know, and Hachidoshi!
No, she didn't.
She kicked her shoes off like Billy Jack. And gave him that speech that he gave the Bernard at the side of the lake. I'm going to take my right foot, and I'm going to wallop you on your left cheek. There's not a damn thing you're going to do about it. And then, like, slow motion, crescent, spinning crescent. Find Billy Jack giving the story about taking his foot and putting it on that guy's cheek.
Right. Not like a the damn courtyard.
Thing. Not a damn thing you're going to do
Adam,
about
Adam,
it.
Adam, can you do the Kia one more time? What'd she say?
Kia! Aishidoshi! And she fought it out with two cops.
Did she really?
Oh, my God. And she got the best of one of them. She busted, busted his watch off him. Like I remember he was like, that was a new watch. And she like bit it off the guy or something. Like she just beat the crap out of these two cops.
Spunky.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
They were married. Yeah, well, not at the time, but they were married for... I mean, the couple, the Kane couple, married for 50 years. So
there
says,
it is.
Billy Jack was talking. Either it was in the park. I think he was in the park.
It's in like a courtyard or something.
The town park. And they're basically beating up on the little Indian kids, and he was going to go berserk. Because they went into town to get ice cream. By the way, here's the deal. I've seen enough movies. You either need to live in town or stay the fuck out of town. Anytime you go, I'm going into town, fucking trouble.
Yeah, that's always trouble.
There's going to be trouble.
Something's going
to
happen.
So either move to the town or stay out of town.
Yeah.
There wasn't an episode of Bonanza where somebody didn't go to town and then come back with, oh, man.
Yeah.
The Gatlin brothers have flown in on, oh, boy. And it was a big deal. Like, coming to nothing good.
Nothing.
There was never an episode of Bonanza where like Hoss and Little Joe came back from town and they went, how'd it go? Eh, come see, come saw. Nothing really. I give it a five. You know Adrian Broner's record over the last seven fights?
About that.
Of town visits. About 3.5.
The locals in town rarely took kindly to out-towners.
I feel like there's a fair bit of commerce coming into your town.
I was going to say, your GDP alone.
Yeah, welcome them.
I don't know like how Jamaicans or Mexicans feel about Americans, but when we come into the tourist, they take our money pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't see it's an issue there. Did you find that,
Is this the one you're talking about, or we're dragging it up? To
it must be
now.
Him. Well, if he talks about walloping him with his foot,
oh yeah,
then all it right. is.
Do you think this, those Green Beret karate tricks going to help you against all these boys?
This is what Lynette's mom said to the cops.
Well, it doesn't look to me like I really have any choice now, does it?
That's right, you don't.
You know what I think I'm going to do then? Just for the hell of it.
Tell me.
I'm going to take this right foot, and I'm going to whop you on that side of your face. And you want to know something? There's not a damn thing you're going to be able to do about it.
Really?
Really?
Oh, jeez.
Damn hard.
Let me tell you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. He yeah. did that in tight jeans and some nice boots.
They used to have karate stretch jeans.
No, they didn't.
What? I swear to God. Back I know then? You think that's an attack on your culture.
Yeah, I'm
they
very
had
excited.
Karate, like Chuck Norris or somebody, like demonstrated stretchy crotch denim jeans. Because, wow. you know.
The original when, jeggings.
Yeah. Like, wow. like it's for the for a guy who is not looking for trouble, but when he finds it, he wants to put his big toe in another guy's orbital socket.
Yes.
And you can't do it in Wranglers.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, they literally had like 1970s stretchy wow. jeans. I don't know if it was
no
a Chuck
way.
Norris thing. I'm telling you
this
now.
This was really for sale? I didn't think that came until like late 90s.
Yeah, the jeggings. Yeah.
I'm telling
the
you.
Leggings.
Was old as new again.
They right. were, they were, I don't know how they fit. Action
what?
Jeans.
You're kidding me right
now. We're looking
now.
At it now.
Oh, man.
What's it say?
Oh, I can't read
Chuck Norris. Opinion. For the martial artists, like these are action jeans. They're jeans that like stretched with your crotch.
It says developed for stunt fighting in the movies. These look and wear like regular Western jeans, but have hidden gusset and stretch in the fabric, so they won't bind your legs.
Wow!
And how much are they?
$19.95 for boys. Men is $29.95.
They come in
free.
This advertisement was in the back of like Black Belt magazine.
And they don't come in husky because, no, really, no. what are you doing
You're
with that fat
dojo.
Little kid,
yeah, you
know? So what's scarier, seeing a guy walk into the bar with the stretchy Chuck Norris jeans?
Oh, you know what he's getting into.
Or the weird black old school Chinaman type
okay.
slip-on
okay.
shoes.
That's,
no,
yeah,
you have to call
that.
It.
Let's mark that
that's
at 31
what they called
minutes.
It. That's
let's
what
mark
they called
that at 31
it.
Minutes. You well, can't the, say that.
Well, that's what they
you
would say.
You cannot say that.
China person.
China person.
The
Chinese,
shoes, the
maybe?
Slip-on
a
black
China,
shoes.
Did you say, say it again.
Chinaman.
Unbelievable.
That's
There's
going to
be people protesting out of 629.
I'm using it as a date reference for when those shoes were worn.
And like, when that word was accepted.
Yes, and okay. when that word was acceptable.
Oh, as a pejorative, it's not that bad. It's a man from China.
Yes.
I mean, it's
yeah,
about
talking
thanks,
about
thanks,
a guy.
Brian.
You're talking about something that's
Bring that
not
up
even
the next
from
meeting.
China.
Not that hood. Yeah. What the...
Unbelievable. There,
you guys know what I'm talking about? The
I
black shoes
it.
With like
you know,
the orange
with the
rubber.
Very thin sole
yeah, and you'd slip
and
on.
The strap. Yep, yep.
Which
yep.
guy?
And what kind of shoes are those called?
China person.
My friend, who's oh. become my friend, Richard Stanley, the guy who robbed 13 banks.
Oh, that, yeah.
Years old, he said, and he uses this word in his book, and he says, look, you're going to get pissed at me, but this is all the guards or anybody ever called these shoes Jap flaps.
Oh, well, no.
Joe's
Hold
leaving.
On.
Joe's
you crossed the line.
I need
crossed
to go to my car real
Wait a minute.
Quick.
Those were flip-flops, though, weren't they?
No. They were the. That's what they called them in the prison system.
The
prison
blocks.
Shoes. And they still call them that today.
Wow. What a time
You'd
warp.
Think prison guards as a group would be
a more
culturally
yeah.
evolved
yeah.
than all yeah. other yeah. groups.
But
nope,
here
not,
we are.
Nope, not
Must
the
have
system.
Found the one.
Not the system.
All right. That shoe. What were those shoes
Cover
called?
Cover your feet with those Jap flaps.
What were those shoes called? They're black. They
I know what you're talking
on.
About. They're kung fu slippers.
They're like kung fu slippers.
Yeah, they're kung fu slippers. Gee, Bruce Lee always wore them.
Don't they give you those after your pedicure?
Kind of. Hold
much.
On. I'm going to find it.
No, the pedicure is the flip-flop.
Oh, it is.
Those are
this
like
is the
glad not to know.
Yeah, this kung fu shoes pulls them up.
Yeah.
Oh, it does. Yeah, these are black. Cloth shoes.
No, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're cloth and it has like just a thin rubber sole, right?
Well, those are fancy ones.
Oh, no, those are the good ones right there.
All right. Who do you mess with? Order. I want you guys to put it in order of mess with guy. You ready?
Yes.
White guy in Chuck Norris stretch jeans.
Okay.
This is any random bar.
Oh.
Asian guy with slip-on kung fu shoes. Or Mexican guy with the shanty shorts that go down, like sort of the Dickie pant shorts that go down past the knee, Kevin Smith style, and then the white socks pulled all the way up to the top.
He's making pants.
He's building a pant bridge. He doesn't have enough for the full pants.
So he makes pants.
And he can't get a sock up to his chin. He's just going to drive that golden spike right around his kneecap.
When he bends his knees, that's the only time air hits the leg.
He's like, it's cold outside and I have very sensitive shins and knees, but I don't want to commit to pants. So I'm going to find a sock that goes up. All right,
there you go.
That guy, and I'm gonna make him a step scarier, wearing a generic sneaker.
Oh, no.
I'm going to let you guys think about who you don't tussle with in order. The scariest guys at the top.
I already know.
Yeah. Does he have a button-up shirt that goes button all the way to the neck?
He may just be wearing a t-shirt or wife beater. Okay. I'm not going to focus on tattoos and whatnot, but he is wearing the sort of Dickies kind of long shanty shorts with the.
He will be number three.
Sanitary socks. Don't come on.
Can I go first?
No, hold on.
Save it.
Put it in order. And again, generic tennis shoes, like the kind you buy in a bin at an Alpha Beta supermarket. By the way,
it's not even a brand.
Here's the world.
It's just white. Smells like rubber.
Let me explain something. When I went to the Home Depot in Hollywood, I've told you guys this. There was a dude that was like all mustache and black hat. He looked like Vicente Fox, the president of Mexico. It was like cowboy boots. Like, you know when the Mexican meets the cowboy look? Yeah, it's a great look, like tight black jeans and stuff. And I'm like walking out of Hollywood Home Depot, like bought all my stuff and I'm pushing my cart out, 2x4s and drywall and everything. And this guy's like, not so fast, my friend. And I'm like, yeah, where are you going? And I'm like, going back to my house. What are you working on? I'm working on a kitchen remod. Do you have a permit? And I'm like, huh? And he whips a badge out, and he's a building inspector.
Wow.
And they brought the mountain to Muhammad. They're like, instead of driving around busting people for, like, bootlegging, you know, studios where their garages are or whatever, I'll go to the Home Depot, and I'll just wait. And if you're coming out of there with some bug spray or garden hose, I'm not going to stop you. But if you're coming out there with 2x4s and drywall, I'm going to stop you because where are you going? Like, what are you building?
Damn.
There's no such thing as like I'm building stuff with drywall and 2x4s and not erecting something.
My kid's Halloween costume.
Yeah, it needs a permit.
Talk to Jim Duggan.
Yeah, they're playing commercial office space. So that guy's like stops me. And he goes, you have a permit, my friend?
Wow.
And I said, yeah, I do. And I did. I had a permit. And he said, what's the permit number? And I said, nobody knows their permit number. It's 11 digits long. And he went, okay, get out of here. And he sent me packing.
Wow.
But he went there. And what I'm saying is I want to get a Child Protective Services version of that guy, and I'll send him to the Ralphs or the Alpha Beta in North Hollywood. And if I see anyone buying powdered milk or shoes under a size 9 from the bin, the generic 10, we're going to follow him out to the minivan and go like, hold on.
Yeah.
We need to check out what you're doing at home here. Because that kid may need to go into protective custody.
Exactly.
We got a situation. You got those shoes and powdered milk. You may not be fit to parent. All right. I'm going to let you guys put the jeans, the kung fu shoes, and the Vato shorts in a in order. And you're going to have to make a little case.
Jesus.
First, I'll tell you about the Craftsman. Lowe's, new home of Craftsman, including the new V20 cordless power tool lineup. One battery system works on multiple products. 2, 4, 6, and 8 tool combo kits available. All with 2-amp high-capacity lithium batteries at work with all the tools in the V20 lineup. Runtime you need, the power you deserve. V20 brushless tools. They have the brushless drill, and they have the Max drill. They also have the impact driver, which is great if you're doing anything, especially building a deck or just driving some timber screws or drywall screws. Impact driver is the best. VMAX hammer drill, great for any kind of masonry you're doing whatsoever. Proudly made in the USA with Global Materials in Charlotte, North Carolina. For the latest Craftsman products and updates, you can visit Lowe's.com/Adam. Lowe's.com/Adam. Lowe's, new home of Craftsman Tools. I was just using their hand tools today. All right, Joe, you go first.
Number one, the scariest is the Asian guy with the slippers.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down, master of his craft.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to kick your ass
All right.
with that foot.
I got him number one.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Number two, jean guy.
And stretch jean guy.
We're talking about the jeans from the 70s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If you are a certified crazy person to wear a pair of fucking jeans like that.
Hey, can I say this about
to go
that,
to a bar
that picture
that.
Of Chuck Norris throwing, kicking a guy with the jeans. He's got the jeans. He's wearing blue-gray ostrich boots,
yeah.
Which I feel like they don't make a stretch boot. Like, it's kind of hard to do martial arts with a big heel in the boot and everything.
Yeah,
like,
for
flying
you.
Flying around.
Yeah, I know. At some point,
that's how badass he is.
I go out of town, outside all the time with sweatpants and tennis shoes. Yeah. Just do that.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway. He's bad.
Yeah, but Chuck has a matching belt as well.
That's true.
And then, of course, the Vato pants. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Third.
All right, that's third.
Oh, sure. All right.
Gina?
I thought about this, too. I'm going to go into reverse order.
Okay.
I'm least afraid, like Joe, I'm least afraid of the guy with the long shorts because I think that guy's just trying to chill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's trying to, like, get into it. I think he just wants to, you know, hang out. Second scariest, the Asian guy with the shoes because you know he only wore those shoes because he can defend himself and he will sleep like a baby tonight kicking the shit out of you.
Mm.
Number one scariest is guy with stretchy jeans because he only wore those. Because he was looking for a fight.
Oh, 100%.
He doesn't wear those every day. Those are days when he feels like he's got a little chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's looking to kick some ass.
Yep, you're right. Damn it, you're so right.
But my reasoning was a little different.
Those are called fighting pants.
Right.
For a reason.
The dude with the pants, he's a country western guy. He's wearing the blue shorts or the blue boots. He might just be out to dance. He just wants the extra flexibility to get down the dance floor.
I didn't think about that.
All these guys are equally scary. The guys I want to mess with least in order, I don't want to mess with Dawson, what's the guy wearing?
Jap flaps.
That's right. Want to mess with that guy because that guy is trained to do bad things in his whatever they're called.
Jap
that's
flaps.
Right. That's
we
right.
get it.
Dawson
thank
said
you.
It's a celebrate it. So that guy I don't want to mess with. Chuck Norris definitely don't want to mess with, but a little less than whatever the guy.
Jap flaps.
That guy. Yeah, that
okay,
guy. And then
God.
I think I have my best chances with the Vato because there's a good chance he's stoned. He's clearly a distant third in terms of in shape, physical in shape. Like I can outrun the dude, worst comes to worst. I'm not doing that with Chuck Norris. I'm not doing that with
Jap flaps.
That guy. Yeah,
hold on.
Hey,
I got a question for Dawson. What do they call in Tokyo? What do they call labias?
Jap flaps.
Christ. I wasn't expecting that.
Dawson, what do you call a Japanese man with extra skin on the side of his stomach?
Jap flaps.
Oh my God.
What's on the back of those 18 wheelers in Japan?
Jap flaps.
Oh, those aren't even mud flaps.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I didn't think they would call them that.
All right.
Everything's called flaps.
I've seen skin tags on like elderly Jewish men, but like on a Japanese guy, what would they?
Jap flaps.
Okay.
There's a new show, America's Funniest Home Videos, but it's Japan's Funniest Home Videos, and it's called Jap Flaps.
Get ready for a new drop.
That's hysterical.
Oh, my God.
All right.
So. God, that felt good.
We got guy in stretch jeans.
Yeah.
Who I do feel like that guy's sometimes there's two schools of thought, like to the guys that are wearing the MMA shirts or the whatever. Like one is, okay, that guy knows mixed martial arts. The other thing is that guy wants you to think he knows mixed martial arts. Like I'm not so sure if that guy's a tough guy or he's trying to scare me.
Yeah.
He just watches a lot of paper.
He just saw a cool ad in the back of the magazine.
Yeah.
So it's a little, it's kind of a, I don't know why it made me think of it, but if you, in the movie Earthquake, had this character, and it was a weird out of a, you know.
From the 70s,
Earthquake
right?
was like Irwin Allen, big disaster movie. He'd do like Towering Inferno and Titan. Or
which
the,
one was
the,
OJ in?
Towering Inferno.
No, he was an airport, wasn't
he? Everyone would make appearances and all those, like Fred Astaire and O.J. Simpson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
He
was Steve McQueen.
Yeah, this building's going down.
Yeah.
Just one line.
They
That's a huge
no. They
fire.
Do something stupid, like they go, the elevator's out. The nuns are 22 stories above us. No one could make it up to that floor in time. I can do it. Like, you know that thing where it's
I can do it.
They had to do it. Like, we kind of knew he was OJ Jim Brown or whatever. Yeah. Like in Jim Brown, like they literally had like Dirty Dozen. Like, no one's going to make it across the bridge. And I did the combines. I mean, I could do it. Like. It was stupid.
How do you know you're 40 times? It's World War II.
So, all right. So there was a scene. I don't know why it's making me think of it, but there's a crazy scene. So they had a crazy character in this movie, which is his name was like
Jap Flaps.
That's how he was credited at the end?
Wait, shocking. Who's the guy who played A. Arnold in Happy Days?
Oh,
come on, Brian.
I don't know, TV.
Yeah. No, you gotta,
Who played A. Arnold in Happy Days?
Al DeVelci.
So hold on.
No.
That's Al.
No.
Who played A. Arnold in Happy Days?
Pat Morita.
Oh, okay. You're supposed to hit the Jap flat. Okay.
AKA anyway, Pat Morita.
Sorry about that. I'm asking Chris.
No.
No.
Me too.
No, that's Pat Morita. All right. And Al DeVecchio, too. Okay. This guy, this actor... And so they had Towering Inferno and they had, I think, the Poseidon Adventure and they had these like earthquake. There was all this like incense around and all this stuff. And they had like these sort of B stories, these side stories and stuff. And it was like it's kind of stuff you'd expect. Like it's not a 90-minute earthquake. It's like at some point Lorne Greene is saying to like Chuck Hessen, like, we have them one of the most prestigious architectural firms in Los Angeles and you'll do things my way. And like Chuck Hessen's character would be like, I'm a structural engineer. I'm not God. Those girders are undersized. Anything above a 7.0 and that building's coming down. And of course, you know, there's always the guy, the hero, like who's like blowing the whistle and everything. But also Chuck is having having an affair in the movie. And there's all kinds of with Karen Black and there's all kinds of weird stuff going on. But one character, so like they're following all these sort of characters and what they're doing before the big earthquake hits. One is Leo Gorshek or something. Like he had Gorsham. There's a character actor has a crazy name.
Fyvish Finkel.
It's crazier than Fyvish Finkel. And he if you go to Earthquake, he'll be the seventh guy down or the ninth guy down or whatever it is. And he'll have the crazy look. I'm not going to tell you, Max Bad. He has a crazy name. That just find the first name, you'll see his crazy name. In a world of Lornes and Charlton Hestons and all that kind
there
of
stuff. There was a Lorne Greene earthquake.
Yeah, you'll see.
Marjo Gortner? No, that's a girl.
Wait a minute, what's his name?
Marjo Gortner.
That's him.
Okay.
All right.
That's a man.
Okay. That's a man.
I'm playing a guy named Jody. That's why I got
confused. Oh, Jody. Well, Jody's a dude, but Jody's struggling with his sexuality. And Jody, like, works at a market, and Jody, like, lives in an apartment. And then when he goes back to his apartment, there's all these posters of, like, bodybuilders up. And he's pulling on, like, a blonde fro wig and, like, standing in front of him. And it's very homoerotic and weird. And he's like coming back to his apartment and they're like the dudes, like the doo-woppy guys from the 50s, like sitting on the stoop, like, where are you going, homo? And he's like walking up to his apartment and he has this like secret cabinet and he's a, he's also in the National Guard. So when the shit goes down, he puts his wig on and like comes right. It's crazy. It's a weird.
What movie is that? Earthquake?
Earthquake. I don't know why they needed the weird sort of guy struggling with a sexuality B story or C story in this. You can look around for it, but it made me laugh. Oh, Jeremy Shapp is calling in. Speaking of boxing, I watched his 30 for 30 that he did on
Tyson Douglas.
Tyson Douglas. Yeah. Crazy. Do you guys remember where you were?
Yes.
Where were you?
Las Vegas.
It's called 42 to 1 because he was a 42 to 1 favorite. So was Tyson.
You know where it took place?
Jap Flaps.
It was in Japan. Yeah. Right. Do you remember where you were, Joe?
Yeah, Vegas.
What was going on? Do you remember what you were doing?
Just everyone knew that he was going to win. That's what it was like. That was the vibe, the energy. Like, oh, this guy's going to get his head blocked off. His head knocked off.
I remember, I don't have a lot of remember where you were moments in there, but I was living in an apartment in North Hollywood, and my buddy Philip the Juggler, who's since passed, was going to the Laugh Factory to perform. And I remember the fight was that Saturday night, and I was like, oh, it's not going to be worth watching this fight.
I'm going to go.
That's how everyone felt. Watch Philip juggle the Laugh Factor, and I just went with him. And it was before, you know, anyone had a cell phone or anything. So you had to wait. Like, you found out later, like, through literal word of mouth. It was crazy. It was unthinkable.
Yeah, I watched it.
That he beat him. But it was a clean win, and it was a great fight. And the 30 for 30 is great. So we'll catch you up on that in a second. Max Zapata, do you have the scene from Earthquake where he's
still looking?
Marjo is coming back, and there's all these guys. It's such a great trope where whenever you came home, there was always some dude sitting on the stoop. What are you doing here? Yeah. It's like
harassing.
What are you doing sitting on a fucking stoop all day? Like, doesn't anyone work? Like, what do you? No one ever thought like. Well, no one ever did a math. Like, do the guys live in the same building?
Yeah.
And if they don't
live... Does this
happen a lot?
And when they run into each other in the laundry room, is it super uncomfortable? Like, well, what do they do? And then what kind of neighbors are these? Or do they live in a neighboring building but then sit on your stoop and verbally criticize you when you come home? Like,
well, I can provide a tiny bit of insight. When I lived in Harlem, there was a lot of dudes that hung out on my stoop that didn't live there.
Oh, really?
And one of them I became friends with, and he would walk me to and from the A train every night, and I took him to see The Lion King.
Really?
But that's not normal. He was a younger, like, he was a teenager. They were like all these thug dudes, and I was pretty much totally alone in Harlem.
How old were you?
I was maybe 24.
My God. Imagine all the guys hanging out at a 24-year-old Gina Kranz stoop in Harlem.
Oh, man.
She comes out as a flock of dudes.
Hey, who likes Broadway?
Well, these guys were a little less Lion King and a little more Sha-na-na in terms of their ethnicity.
Got it.
If you follow me.
Sure.
All right. We'll take a... I'll let Max Zapata look for that. I'm putting Vato guy first. Not because he's the toughest or the most athletic, but if you got the best of him in a fight, he would show up shortly thereafter with a lot of guys he called cousin, who were neighborhood guys, and they would collectively kick your ass. I worry about that.
That's a good point.
Slippers guy.
So you're saying it wouldn't be a fair fight with the bot, though?
The second fight. There'd be a second fight in the parking lot. I got to worry about
that.
He's local.
That's why he goes, it's not over, fucker.
Yeah, that's right. Call you fucker.
It's not over, fucker.
Right. I'm like, I just whooped your ass, Vato.
Yeah, well, it's not over, fucker. You still got to go to your car.
I beat you so bad, I can see skin between your socks and your shorts.
Wow, fucker. I can't wait for you to come outside. You're going to see skin over your fucking eyes.
Why? You have family members who reside in this neighborhood?
I got Little Fleeter out there. I got Big Tony out there. Emilio's out there.
Emilio's out there.
You know Emilio.
He's a big dude.
He's fucking crazy, fucker. I got Little Rabbit.
He's loco?
I got Little Rabbit.
Oh, no. That guy's
Little
quick.
Out there,
that guy's
he's
fast.
Quick, bro.
He's
Bam.
Quick.
Beat the pop. Like
oh
fucker.
Man, I'm never
beat
walking
like
into my
carrot,
car.
Bro. Beat you like a carrot.
Hey, could you
beat
go
you like
out
a
there?
Carrot, bro? You want to be a carrot?
No.
Yeah, you want to be a carrot fucker?
No.
Yeah.
Would you go out there? Sort
we got
of
hot rod out there too.
Oh no,
he's a hot rod. You know why they call him hot rod?
Because
his name is Rod.
Oh right, right, right.
He's hot rod fucker.
Yeah.
Can come outside, fucker.
Yeah.
Come outside.
Our version of that, our white dude version of that, are guys named Brad, who we call Bad Brad.
Oh, fuck Bad Brad.
No, I wish he was here
even
now.
Say that correctly, fucker.
Yeah. Hey, can you go out there and just kind of tell those guys to stand down?
Nah, bro. Nah, you fucked up, bro. You fucked up, bro.
Hey, have you ever thought about wearing those tennis
Hayes for
socks?
Horses?
Is that one of their comebacks?
Yeah, their comebacks.
I miss Hayes for horses.
Hayes are for horses, fucker.
Fucker. All right. I'll let Max Zapata look for that. We'll take a quick break. Mm-hmm. We'll come right back after this.
Thursday night at the Irvine Improv. Don't miss the basic cable commentary of Airplane.
Would you like something to read?
Do you have anything light?
How about this leaflet, Famous Jewish Sports Legends?
Join Adam Carolla and special guest David Zucker for an inside look at the movie with its creator.
Surely you can't be serious. I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
And the Basic Cable Breakdown with Adam Carolla.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Thursday night, Irvine Improv, Basic Cable Commentary, Airplane.
It's like I picked the wrong week to quit amphetamines.
Get your tickets at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Spritz of hot H2O, that talcum powder dunk down below. We're coating on his pube curls, growing some for Mother Jesus. Sweating, swampy, his ass has got to smell shitty. His musk is strong like a sumo thong. He stinks so bad, but he's witty. His balls smell like clams, like the boots of a fisherman. His nuts smell like clams, make my nose wanna retire, man. His junk reeks like clams. Ain't no showers for the ace, man. His balls smell like clams. Lynette, Natalia, your sonny, hose him down. His balls stink, hallelujah. His balls stink, hallelujah. His balls stink, hallelujah. His downtown funk gon' give it to you. His downtown funk gon' give it to you. His downtown funk gon' give it to you. Since New Year's showering, he has not. Jesus, Adam, just wash, come on.
I am,
That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm in the pool every single morning, so there are no more showering. There was no showering before, but now I really ain't showering. I swim in the pool every single morning, and you can't argue that you can get any cleaner than being dipped.
Yeah.
I dip my ass.
Yeah, man. The best cleaning product is chlorine.
Yeah, I agree.
Dip your balls in chlorine.
That's what I did.
And you smell like evergreen.
Yeah, fucker.
We
fucker.
Got.
Hey, shut up, fucker!
We got Lynette doing a karate kick with mom when she was a little, little itty bitty girl.
On what is this?
What show is this?
Oh, Let's Rap. Let's Rap was like a basic cable. You know, well, I don't know
how
basic
cable.
What they call? What would they
local,
call
it? Like a low cable?
Yeah, they call them like local cable or whatever. Oh God, what was the
cable access?
Yeah, local cable access thing, and it was on. It was like called Let's Rap, and they'd have like folks on there. It was basically picture Huell Hauser without a van. Now you got to sit here and talk to people about stuff. It was like that. All right, sorry. This must be from like 1980 or 78.
Alicia
or something.
Sandoval.
Here we go.
Here we are with a lady who's well known for her work in training people to do movie stunts, and she herself has appeared in a few films, and her daughter, Lynette, has been in some commercials and some movies, and she brought a student with her, and we'll find out his name shortly. And Helen Paradise has her own self-defense academy. And
hey, we're going to have Lynette do some kind of demonstration for us today, I hope. And
I know, she sounds like the buzzer from the Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Oh, my God. Attack.
No.
Actually, how to take a knife away from a criminal. So let's try it.
Yeah, that crushed him.
You see that in slow motion?
Yeah.
Great.
Slow that down. I
okay, Lynette's
that.
Moving it to the side. Kind of blocking gravity.
Oh, I thought
the
they had
time.
Slow motion for a minute. That's like, doesn't sound like the basic cable access. No.
This is like karate. Yeah! Yeah!
That's holy what she did to the LAPD.
Play that again.
That was amazing. Look at little Lynette.
Wait, she was good.
She's third degree. Aishidoshi. She's a third-degree black belt with a crazy accent.
Wow.
I know.
Dude, she's good.
When did she come to this country?
Oh, God.
How old was she?
Oh, maybe 18 or something, 19. Wow. Like, she came to this country with a big old accent. I don't know if she had accent. I don't know if she spoke English when she got here. And that's dad,
by the way,
was born in Italy, too.
By the way, the way she said... My daughter is going to do the karate move, I hope. Like, she, like, there's doubt. Wow. Yeah. They always have doubt.
Yeah,
that's always that immigrant mom. Yeah, I hope if she studies correctly, she'll pull it off right now when we need her to, but we'll see. Lynette, go do the karate move mommy told you.
She got the whole getup and everything. I can't see what she's wearing on her feet. Dawson, can you?
Jap flaps.
Oh, that's
All right.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Let me tell you about Tommy John and then Jeremy Schapp. 11-time Emmy Award-winning sports writer and reporter Jeremy Schapp. This, I love boxing, obviously, but this story is crazy. The Buster Douglas story. I mean, his mom died. He was, you know, Buster Douglas was a guy who, his dad was a big-time fighter. And his dad was tough as nails, and his dad, like, overtrained, and his dad, and everyone, he always lived in his dad's shadow. And Buster Douglas had sort of more physical gifts than his dad, but he never trained like his dad. So his dad was always overtraining and outtraining and showing up in incredible shape, and his son was showing up with a spare tire around him. And when you fight heavyweight, there's nothing to stop you from doing that. You know, TJ Dillashaw can't do that. Heavyweight, doesn't matter how much you weigh. It's kind of up to you what kind of shape you want to be in when you get in that ring, because there's no difference. If you want to show up at 255 versus 218, you can show up at 255, but it's not going to look good when you take the robe off. So he didn't train as hard, but he had more gifts, but he sort of was a mama's boy. He didn't like his dad. And I think he was, I don't think he spoke to his dad, and his dad was overly tough on him and blah, blah, blah. And he got away. His dad trained him, and then he got rid of his dad as a trainer. And then his mom died right before the fight. So he had every reason to get out of the fight. If you want to not fight Mike Tyson and you've signed the contract and everything's going, if your mom dies right before the fight, you can go, hey, my mom died, I'm not going to Japan, if you want. He had an out, but he said, no, I'm doing it.
Made it work for
anyway,
him.
When Tyson was considered unbeatable, and he just took it to him.
And was this the fight, I think we may have touched on this at some point, where Tyson was kind of carousing and cavorting at that point?
He wasn't taking his training seriously.
Yeah.
He's enjoying Japan.
Okay.
He did a little more rape and pillage than he did carouse and cavort.
Okay.
But there's a little of that.
I wasn't clear. I didn't want to assume he was raping.
Yeah. He showed up a heavy favorite, and he was there to have a good time and then win this fight.
That was the end of it, too. The Tyson era was done. That was the last time we saw Tyson as the unstoppable force in the heavyweight division. Because right after that, he went to jail. And then that's when it was all about Lennox Lewis and Holyfield and Riddick Bowe and Holyfield. And that went on for like 4 or 5 years. And then Tyson came out and it was just too late.
Once he was in the joint, you know what some of the guards called his shoes?
Oh, man.
What did they call them? Well, Dawson knows.
Jap flaps.
Thank you, Dawson. All right, let me tell you about Tommy John.
You know, when Tyson was, you know, before that fight in Japan, he was getting a lot of chicks and he was taking care of some of those.
Jap flaps.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know what I like when I'm out there? Adam, you know what I like when I'm out there?
Yes, Mike.
In Tokyo,
Iron Mike.
I like to take a lot of these girls, and then I like to pull down their pants.
Uh-huh.
And you know what I like to look at?
Jap flaps.
Yeah. It's my favorite. It's so good. Adam?
No, I'm with you, Iron Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Iron Mike,
hey,
you know
Adam,
there was an
hey,
Iron
Adam,
Mike
Adam.
Kid guy, you know, before, yeah.
Adam, you know, yeah. I like to go to sushi, but, you know, one of my favorite things to eat over sushi in Japan is...
Jap flaps.
Yeah, it's really chewy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chewy? Yeah. She physically eats it.
Yeah.
Did not know that, Mike.
Yeah, it's really chewy.
Iron Mike.
Yeah, so good. You should try it sometimes.
I saw you do an interview once where somebody said he punched you in your equilibrium.
Yeah, he punched me in my equilibrium.
So right.
I threw everything off.
You should know that that's not a part.
Well, I'm just saying,
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Look, are you getting smart with me?
No, no. I'm saying for further interviews.
Because I'm just saying right now, I'll take your look at me. Look at me, Adam. I'll take your dick, rip it off, and you know what you'll have between your legs?
Jap flaps.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Shap's on line five, so hold on one
He's
second.
He's so confused.
Hold on. Shap flap. Tommy John, life's too short to be uncomfortable when it comes to underwear. Why settle for anything less than Tommy John, the most comfortable men's and women's underwear on the planet? Keeps men neat and nestled and women panty line free. Comfortable stay put waistbands. Luxuriously soft fabrics designed to move with you. Plus life changing women's line is wear as well. Loungewear for men and women in the first ever stay tucked in dress shirt for men. It's all the best. You'll never go back once you get the Tommy John. I'm wearing mine right now. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free guarantee. They also have a no wedgie guarantee. It's the best. It is Tommy John. And by the way, you'll get a full refund if you do not love your first pair, but you will. And I've asked you guys, tweet me if you don't love Tommy John. Never heard a word. Tommy John, right, Dawson?
Hurry to TommyJohn.com/Adam right now for 20% off your first order. That's TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off only at TommyJohn.com. TommyJohn.com.
Jeremy Schapp.
Hello.
Hey, I really enjoyed your 30 for 30, which it's 42 to 1. It's directed by Jeremy, or co-directed by Jeremy, and it's available now on ESPN+. I saw it already, obviously, immediately when it aired, because I love that story, and Buster Douglas is such a likable guy for people punch people in the face. What do you know about Buster these days? What's he up to?
Well, you know, Buster these days, he works for the city of Columbus, Ohio. That's where he's from. He works in a rec center in Columbus. He's a boxing trainer. You know, he's training, you know, regular people and little kids. And, you know, he's not making a lot of money. You know, there's a guy who in 1990 got the biggest check anyone in sports had ever gotten. For anything, $24 million to fight Evander Holyfield, which is like $48 million now.
Easily.
That money's all gone, and he doesn't make a lot, but I think he's, I know he's happier now than he was when he had all that money, which is, you know, ironic.
Yeah, so I was talking to Freddie Roach last week. Now it sounds like I'm name dropping.
Wow, that's a real name drop then.
So me and Freddie were talking.
You may have heard of him.
And I was sort of talking to him about boxers who you can tell they want out, like they want out. And I sort of described it as the guy who's in a bad marriage and he's cheating and he leaves his phone out with the text messages from his honey bunny, just leaves it on the coffee table. And she finds it, but he wanted out. Like he didn't want to ask her for a divorce, but he wanted out. And when Buster Douglas fought Holyfield, it just seemed like he wanted out. Like the crown was too heavy.
Oh, for sure. I still remember, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Adam, but I still remember when he drove up in that limo to fight him and he came out. That was the first time everyone saw him really, because, you know, after the weigh-in, he swelled up.
Right.
He was huge when he came out of that limo. He pulled up in a limo and all the cameras on him and he came out. He was massive. So out of, he was not in shape at all. We were like, he's going to throw this fight.
Jeremy, is that? Was your take that he didn't want the limelight or he wasn't comfortable with all the attention?
You know, I wouldn't say that. I think what happened with the Holyfield fight, which takes place 8 months after he knocks out Mike Tyson in Tokyo, you know, he got that huge paycheck, but there was all this turmoil in his personal life. There was turmoil with his wife and their relationship. There was turmoil with his complicated relationship with his father, who at one point had been his trainer and his manager, and all the people who had gotten him to Tokyo to the point at which he could pull off the greatest upset, he had kind of pushed them to the side. New people had come in. He'd spent the months after the fight battling in court with Don King, battling about upholding the result of that fight in the face of challenges based on the long count in the eighth round. And he was eating himself out of contention. He put on, I think it was 15 pounds, between the fight in February and the fight in October. And the other factor, frankly, is that his mother's death 3 weeks before the fight against Tyson inspired him. It brought out his best instincts as a fighter and as a competitor. It gave him someone to fight for and to try to honor in that fight. But he didn't deal with the grief. And his mother was the most important person in his life. And he didn't have a chance to properly mourn her. He went away for a couple of days after she died, and then he got right back into training, and then he goes to Tokyo and pulls off this remarkable achievement. And I think all of those things were swirling around him by the time he gets into the ring to fight Evander Holyfield. Of course, he didn't have to even win that fight. If he had just performed well, if he put up a good fight, he would have made tens of millions of dollars more for a rematch probably against Mike Tyson.
Yeah, and the fight was, there's nothing fluky about it. Like, Tyson at some point lands, I guess, in the eighth, one of his devastating uppercuts. Like, just huge uppercut and takes Buster Douglas down, but he gets back up. And when you see Buster Douglas knock out Tyson, it's not one punch. It's a flurry, and it's square. Like, no part of that was a cheap victory or the judges didn't see it right. And sometimes there's upsets that are like, if they did it 10 more times, the other guy would have won it 9 of them or whatever. This was not that. This was him pumping a jab up on his feet, determined and moving. Like, he showed you what he could do when he wanted to do it. He had the tools. He was very Larry Holmes-esque that way.
You know what's crazy about that fight, too, is him beating Mike Tyson, because they moved the fight to Japan because they knew that no one was buying into the betting in Vegas, so they moved it to Japan. Am I right, Jeremy?
Well, nobody was going to even buy it.
They weren't going to buy a ticket to that fight.
They couldn't get a gate.
Yeah, so they moved to Japan. So him losing to Douglas and then Douglas going on to fight Holyfield and lose to Holyfield, if Mike Tyson would have stayed straight and stayed out of jail, that would have been the biggest fight in the history of sports. It would have been the biggest. There would have been nothing, because nothing would have topped that fight. Because it would have been, Mike Tyson would have been like, he can be beat. And Holyfield was like the guy with the belt. And that would have been the biggest fight ever. Hands down.
Oh, it would have been huge.
Huge.
It would have been huge. But you know what you were saying, Adam, about that fight. And that's what we really wanted to do with this film, is people know the name Buster Douglas. They know he's the guy who beat Mike Tyson. But for some reason, the magnitude of the achievement and the reality of the achievement has been forgotten through the mist of time. People thought, he must have gotten lucky, or it was a fluke, it was one punch. It wasn't
any of those things.
It was a butt-kicking. I mean, for 10 rounds, he beats up Mike Tyson. He wins, you could say, every round other than the eighth, where he got knocked down. He loses his concentration at that moment because he's so thoroughly dominating the fight.
Yeah,
he was so fully in hand that he just figured it's kind of over. And he got careless, and he got hit not by one, but by two of the uppercuts, two Tyson uppercuts. The second one puts him down, but you can see immediately he hits the canvas. And nobody who ever got hit by Mike Tyson before did this. He hits the canvas with his body, and then you see him kind of shake his head, and he pounds his fist on the canvas like, I can't believe I let that happen.
Yeah.
And he gets right back up. And then the ensuing ninth round, a minute later, is just unbelievable. I mean, these two heavyweights going at it, and Douglas getting the better of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Douglas was doing stuff you don't see heavyweights do, which is doubling up his jab.
Yeah.
And it was just screwing Tyson up, because Tyson relied so heavily on fear that people being in an offensive posture and doubling up their jab and following it with a straight right was something that he just wasn't used to. He's used to guys trying to survive.
Right, not walking toward him.
Not coming at him and throwing a bunch of punches, and he just had nothing for it. It is, it's 30 for 30. It's 42 to 1. It's a great 30 for 30. I you don't need to love boxing like I do to love this. What's your next one, Jeremy? What else are you working on?
I'm working on some pieces for E60 I'm excited about. I was with Matt Millen today, four-time Super Bowl champion. Just got a heart transplant. He's got an incredible story.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Corey Dillon?
Matt Millen.
Oh, Matt Millen.
Oh, I said Corey Dillon.
Millen just had a heart transplant.
Matt is Matt Dillon?
He just got a new heart on Christmas Eve.
Wow, Jesus!
So
wow.
30 days ago, and he's doing great. I don't know if you've ever talked to Matt.
No,
he's a great guy. He's one of the really good guys. He was kind of the quintessential NFL tough guy. You know, he won four Super Bowl rings with three different teams.
I know the Raiders. And who are the other two?
The Redskins. He won a Super Bowl with the Redskins.
And two with San Francisco then.
Super Bowl with Ripon. He won a Super Bowl for the Raiders in LA and Oakland. He won a Super Bowl with the 49ers.
He was, by the way, he's back when middle linebackers were middle linebackers, mm-hmm. not just fast guys who rush to pass or get drop back in a hook zone, right. Get into pass coverage. These big old run stoppers, big old barrel chested dude. Mm-hmm. And in charge of the Lions for so many years as well. He got a heart transplant. How do you get a heart transplant? That guy's a heart of a lion. Like, how do you,
that's the story. I mean, Matt Millen, the guy who was all heart. So he has a disease called amyloidosis, and it's a disease that generates these rogue proteins in your body, and it can attack all different organs. It happened, in his case, to a severely attacked, which is, I think, I'm not an expert on this, but it's the most typical way for it to do it. It attacks your heart, and it just kind of slowly drains the strength out of your heart and weakens your heart and has no pliability left. So he was on the waiting list for 3 months. He waited at Newark Beth Israel Hospital. He checked in on October 1st on the heart list and did not get the heart. He didn't get the news until December 23rd. They took him in just after midnight on Christmas Eve.
Jesus.
And he was in the hospital for about 12 days after that. And now he's back at it. You know, he's feeling pretty good. He's on all those rejection drugs and he's on steroids. To control the inflammation, but
a lot of girls I went to high school with were on those rejection drugs.
He's a remarkable guy.
Does he know where he got the heart?
He does. He doesn't know the name. He doesn't know the identity, but he knows. He knows that it was a 20. I believe he knows that it was a 26-year-old male who I believe his heart stopped because of an overdose.
Wow. So I always think about like motorcycle accident or something, but you get a guy whose heart stopped.
Got some mileage on it.
That's still salvageable?
Well, yeah, apparently that's it. I was talking to Matt. He said you would think that would mean, but I guess the heart stops, but they can revive the heart. But sometimes his brain, bring back the brain.
Starve. Wow. Yeah.
Crazy, man. Matt, I hadn't heard anything about this at all.
He was a great broadcaster. I loved him as an analyst. Did he play by play? Or no.
He was a color guy.
Yeah. He was
good.
He
worked with, I think, mostly with Dick Stockton at Fox, at CBS and Fox. But he was a great analyst. And he's a great guy. His personality. He's a great family man. He was a friend of my dad's. They were pretty close. From his time at Penn State up through the NFL, and one of the great Super Bowl sound bites, always on those lists, the great Super Bowl sound bites, when the Raiders were playing the Redskins in that Super Bowl, my dad went to the Redskins locker room on media day or their tables, and he said to Russ Grimm, you know, what would you do to win the Super Bowl? And Grimm said, I'd run over my mother to win the Super Bowl. He's like, that's great. So then he goes over the Raiders. He goes to Millen, who he has this rapport with. He says, Matt, Russ says he'd run over his mother to win the Super Bowl. What would you do? And, of course, Matt says, I'd run over his mother, too.
Russ Grimm is a big – he was a hog back then. Jeremy, we look forward to everything that's coming out. And you can shoot Jeremy Schapp a tweet at Jeremy Schapp. And it's a great 30 for 30. I love all the 30 for 30,
but I
really love this one. Nice job,
my
friend.
I appreciate it. Thanks,
guys. We shall talk soon. Oh, you got the earthquake scene?
Sweet.
That's Mark Joe Gordner.
Where's them cantaloupes? We asked you for some free cantaloupes, Joe. Say, my friend, what kind of friend are you?
He works at a supermarket.
Boy, that's right. We saw on television where you're going to go play Soldier Boy. Say.
He lives in this like one-bedroom apartment. Now, wait, he opens this chest that he made out of plywood, and he's getting into his military outfit. He's got... Here's where it takes a little turn for the homoerotic. That's all his weird German helmets and his workout equipment and stuff. He's got a weird blonde wig.
Was it true that blondes have more fun?
About to find out.
Oh, no. Look at that. I told you he was a fag.
Say, Jody, you a fag?
If I'd known you as a fag, Jody, I'd have been up here before. Could have used the money.
Who's the white guy being the black guy?
I don't. Well, you got to pause it for a second. Wait a second. This is a movie, but it's a disaster movie by Irwin Allen about an earthquake. I don't know why we need the weird side story of the guy with the bodybuilding homoerotica. And then if you live in an apartment and there's hoodlums that just sit around in the front.
Yeah.
By the way, who are you calling gay? It's the three of you fellas. You got your keys just parked on the brownstone here. No one ever goes anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't see you with the kids or the wives or the jobs or anything. But anyway, and then you go into your unit. You got to lock the door.
Yeah, you don't leave
that
swinging open.
You can't just leave the door swinging because these guys will come back up because you didn't bring them their cantaloupes.
Yeah.
I think he worked at the supermarket.
No one's talking about the white guy being the black guy with the afro.
Is that a black guy or
a
white guy?
No, it's a white guy with a black... he's wearing blackface right now.
Oh, my.
It's a different time.
Yeah, simpler times.
Hey, man, you dig?
All right, wait, let's hear what he said.
Watch. Look at him.
True that blondes have more fun? Oh, no, look at that. I told you he was a fag.
Say, Jody, you a fag?
If I'd known you as a fag, Jody, I'd have been up here before. Could have used the money.
It is funny. Like, we need, like, guy from the dock. Cowboy guy, wigger guy. Where would these guys know each other from? Oh, he's dumping garbage. These guys are fairly aggressive.
Horrible arm, by the way.
Bad roommates.
I agree to the front, soldier. Quit looking around.
What a tight-up convertible.
Yes. By the way, he's driving a Corvair. Unsafe at any speed, so said Ralph Nader. All right. So,
they never explained the blonde wig?
I saw this movie in the movie theater when I was like 9, and I was like, "What's going on? Yeah. Like, why is he putting a wig on? He's an Army Reserve guy. They need him for his Army Reserve, but why is he putting a wig on? And what? Why is the homo? Where's the gay stuff coming from? And what's it? Anyway,
that's bizarre.
You got to see the movie.
That was the weirdest scene I've ever seen.
Well, considering that wasn't like a low budget indie. You know, hey, we slice of life movie. That was a big budget earthquake 70s movie. I don't know why this storyline was in it.
Unnecessary.
Very unnecessary. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll play you Lynette's mom mashed up against the Looney Tunes buzzer.
Oh, my God.
Right after this.
Thursday, February 7th at 10E in downtown Los Angeles, Corolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club, featuring Ghost, My 30 Years as an FBI Undercover Agent, with author Michael R. McGowan. One of the cartel members we had arrested agreed to cooperate. Some of what he told us pointed to corruption at the very highest levels of the Mexican government. When we quickly relayed this very important news to FBI HQ in Washington, we were told to stand down, because what we were pursuing, namely, the links between the Sinaloa cartel and the Mexican government, were, in HQ's words, outside the scope of your original objective. February 7th at 10E. Come on out and enjoy a Mangria signature cocktail. Hear me read a chapter from Ghost and meet legendary FBI undercover agent Mike McGowan and his co-author Ralph Pizzullo. This event is free, but space is limited. Just click the registration link at adamcarolla.com.